the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're going to the surface of the planet Mars with Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. And I'm a booster for Ingenuity, the brave little toaster on the surface of Mars now and again. Mission 55. Successful, Bob?
It appears to be. The Ingenuity team has not posted any specific report, but they have added the flight numbers to the helicopter's flight log and the interactive map that is provided by the JPL team that runs Perseverance and Ingenuity to show where they both are has also been updated. And I, of course, have posted an update on Behind the Black so you can see where they are relative to each other. Ingenuity has essentially flown about 800 feet to the west of where Perseverance sits and from where Ingenuity had been. And it's essentially brought the helicopter back to the planned route of Perseverance. If you look at my map, there's a red dotted line. That's where they planned initially to take Perseverance. They did a detour. They went north to visit a large crater inside Jezero crater and also to do other stuff. And so that the helicopter's been sent back towards the original planned route suggests that after Perseverance completes the present drilling campaign it's doing at its present location, it will then move back to its original planned route. That's, I think, what this indicates.
Where's Ingenuity now? Is it the blue dot or the green dot?
No. The green dot is Ingenuity, and the brown line shows its previous flight paths, and the white dotted line with the blue dot at the end shows where Perseverance has traveled and where it is right now. Perseverance hasn't moved recently because it's doing a drilling campaign at that spot to obtain another Mars sample. If you look at this map, the Jezero western rim of the crater is on the left side, and then there's Neretva Vallis, which is the gap that the delta flowed out into the crater eons before. And the goal eventually is to go up Neretva Vallis through that gap to the terrain beyond Jezero crater to the west, where that terrain has a great deal of interesting geological mineral formation, so it's going to be a very rich place to do exploration and research.
We go to the moon. China's making Chang'e 5 samples. Where was Chang'e 5? That was on the far side of the moon?
No, that landed on the near side of the moon in an area where they thought some of the youngest volcanic activity on the moon occurred. It's still like half a billion years ago, but nonetheless, it's young volcanic material for the moon. So Chang'e 5 land there, grabbed samples, brought them back to Earth in 2020. China, for the last three years, has kept those samples within its own research facilities, perfectly reasonable. They've been doing research, but now they've announced that they are going to be willing to loan samples out to any other scientists in the international community, not just scientists, actually. There's also for public display. If you are a museum, let's say, you can borrow these samples. And they've announced very specific rules to borrow the stuff. Of course, China maintains complete control and can pull it back at any time. And they have the right to supervise the research and retain the right to recall that samples. Because U.S. law forbids the government officials to having any contact with China, don't expect NASA or its scientists to apply for these samples. And I'm not sure even if independent scientists will want to do it, because you would be risking further contract work with the government in the U.S. But other international countries will probably apply for these samples and do research with them, John.
Saturn. Ammonia storms? Where?
On Saturn. Saturn, just like Jupiter, has many very large storms. They're not as distinct as on Jupiter because the color variations on Saturn are not as much. But when Cassini was orbiting Saturn, and prior to and subsequent and even during its period of a dozen years in orbit around Saturn, Hubble also took pictures, and there was a storm that was for a big storm that started to appear in 2011. Now, scientists have taken data that was accumulated of that storm and combined it with radio observations here on Earth. And from that data, they have determined, or at least now believe, that storm has rainstorms of ammonia. And it's literally a ammonia cycle similar to the water cycle on Earth. The ammonia is transported from the upper to the lower atmosphere via processes of precipitation and re-evaporation. As it rains down into the atmosphere, not on the ground, because the ground is very far away, but into lower altitudes where it then becomes droplets of ammonia, which then can evaporate and rise up higher and then rain back down again. And that's what we see on Saturn. Now, obviously, this is uncertain. There's very little known, really, about these giant gas giants and their internal weather patterns and atmospheres, because the atmospheres are so gigantic. We really only can see the upper levels. But nonetheless, there does appear to be ammonia rainstorms on Saturn, and they last for hundreds of years, by the way. Like the giant red spot on Jupiter, these giant hurricane storms go on and on and on and on.
A creation of a time-lapse movie of an exoplanet, which I reviewed. So, Bob, I want you to describe what I'm looking at.
Yeah, a scientist took 17 years of data of a exoplanet, a very bright, large exoplanet. It's, 12 times the mass of Jupiter, which means it's almost a brown dwarf, a failed star. It's not almost, very close to not being an exoplanet, but a failed star. But nonetheless, because it's very bright, they can actually get images of it. And they've been taking pictures of this thing for 17 years. And so he decided, let me compile this into a 10-second short movie. I've embedded it on Behind the Black, where you can see the motion of this planet as it goes around the star. And they haven't completed the first. We've only been doing this for 17 years, and that's only about two-thirds of the orbit. There's another 6 years of data before they can complete one whole orbit. But nonetheless, you can see a planet orbiting another star. It's pretty cool.
And the Webb, James Webb Space Telescope. It took years for building. We worried about its launch. It's successful in that it's confounded a great deal of the assumption about the early universe, in fact, about the creation itself. What? And this is the second year, Bob, you tell me. So Maisie, who is Maisie?
Maisie's galaxy. It's named after the daughter of one of the scientists who first identified this galaxy using Webb data. The initial survey of Webb data determined about 10 galaxies that appeared to be the youngest ever found, and many of which were much more advanced or larger than should be that early in the universe. Well, they took another look at Maisie's galaxy with spectrograph on Webb, and that gave them a confirmation of its age. It is very young. It exists in like 400 million years after the start of the Big Bang. Another galaxy, though, that they thought was only 250 million years after the Big Bang is actually a billion years after the Big Bang. And that's part of the research of science, getting the data right over time, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're headed back to the moon. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.